content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from The Washington Post, Pastor.com, and Dogster Magazine. On today's program, we'll begin with an article from The Washington Post titled, Buddy the Cat Was Brutally Attacked. His Survival Saved Countless Animals, by Kelly B. Gormley. The mauling prompted an outpouring of concern and over $130,000 in donations. Emergency veterinarian Katie Venanzi examined a community cat named Buddy, who arrived at her Philadelphia clinic and with a heavy heart figured he might not survive after a vicious dog attack. The black cat was barely responsive after a mauling, which happened after two boys, ages 12 and 17, allegedly let their dogs loose on Buddy. But as Venanzi tended to his many wounds, she noticed the kitty growled at staff at Blue Pearl Pet Hospital and thumped his tail on the table, a telltale sign of feline annoyance. She knew she had a fighter on her hands. I thought, this cat might make it, says Venanzi, 35. Buddy not only pulled through his brush with death on March 22nd, he is now physically healed, though he still has some emotional scars, Venanzi said. He has also become a sudden celebrity, bringing in so many donations to the Pennsylvania SPCA that funds are now going to help other sick and injured animals. I think people were outraged by what they saw, and I think they were also rooting for Buddy, said Jillian Coker, director of public relations for the PSPCA. When Buddy was attacked, he was in front of a home in Philadelphia's Frankford neighborhood, where the homeowners would leave food and water out for him. A surveillance camera captured the attack, in which the boys were walking two dogs and apparently encouraged them to maul the cat until homeowners came out and stopped it. Police arrived and Buddy was taken to the Pennsylvania SPCA, then the emergency clinic. Officers launched an investigation. A video of the attack went viral, and the PSPCA shared Buddy's story with the news media. A wave of people were disgusted with the cruelty and started cheering on Buddy. He's been through a lot, but he's kind of a symbol, not just for hope and recovery, but he's saying to other cats that hopefully this won't happen to them, Coker said. The Pennsylvania SPCA posted on its Facebook about Buddy several times, starting on March 23rd when it was unclear whether Buddy would survive. People shared the story far and wide. They gushed over Buddy in the comments. Buddy, we all love you. What a brave boy you are, wrote one Facebook user. Donated. Prayers for the sweet boy who did not deserve this, wrote another. Your story will not go unheard, wrote a third person. This act of animal cruelty should never have happened. Buddy's recovery led to more than $100,000 in donations from around the world to the PSPCA's Buddy fundraising page. The Shelters Save Every Buddy movement, as well as slogan t-shirts, raised an additional $30,000. After paying for Buddy's medical care, the rest of the money will now go to cover care for other injured and sick cats. Coker said the response to Buddy is unlike anything she has seen in her 7 years at the shelter. This was just amazing, Coker said. There really are no words on the outpouring of support just for this one animal. People felt a connection to Buddy, she said. Obviously, he's a cat, but he really was a kind of underdog, Coker said. The two boys who allegedly released their dogs on Buddy are charged as juveniles with crimes including aggravated animal cruelty and animal fighting. The dogs they were walking that day were also taken into SPCA care. As for Buddy, he may have found his forever home. Venanzi, the veterinarian, approached the shelter about fostering him after he was discharged from the clinic was still in recovery. Venanzi's husband, Dave, came up with the idea to take the cat, knowing how much his wife had bonded with Buddy. One of the couple's two cats had died in January, and they had room for another. They brought him home on April 1st, and Buddy promptly started purring and then jumped into Dave's lap. We kind of had a feeling we would end up being a first-time foster fail, says Dave Venanzi, 35, describing the common animal rescue story where a foster pet finds its forever home with foster parents. The Venanzi said they are about 90% sure they will keep Buddy, explaining they want to be sure their home is the right place for him. There have been many other offers of adoption. Kate Venanzi describes Buddy as a vocal, laid-back, and a big love bug. Her colleagues at the clinic cooed when they spotted Buddy on a recent staff Zoom call. He's become like my little shadow, she said. Everywhere I go, he's right behind me. Coker said it would be a perfect outcome if Buddy ends up with the veterinarian who saved him. It just kind of wraps it all up, she said. Next, we'll move on to an article from Catster.com titled Easy Guide to Pet Insurance by Jackie Brown. Time for growth. I would really like to see awareness of the industry grow, says Matt Heisiger, product analyst for Embrace Pet Insurance. So many people don't know pet insurance is out there, or they don't learn about it until their pet is older and already has some issues. That said, the number of insured pets has been increasing, especially in the last few years. It's been a very busy time for pet health insurance, says Dr. Jules Benson, chief veterinary officer for Nationwide. I think pet health insurance is something that people have meant to do for a long time in some cases. In 2021, Nationwide hit 1 million pets insured, which has been a big landmark. According to Kristen Lynch, executive director of the North American Pet Health Insurance Association, recent data indicates that all NAPHIA member companies have experienced significant increases in pet insurance enrollment since the second quarter of 2020. We can attribute this partly to a surge in pet adoptions and purchases, combined with a dramatic change in pet owners' lifestyles, Kristen says. People have been at home from work and school. People are getting to know their cats, and cats are getting to know their humans more than ever. If we consider this alongside the pandemic's impact on our earning and spending habits, it's easy to see why pet insurance is seeing increased growth. Changing offerings. Decades ago, pet insurance used to be a one-size-fits-all, fits-most product. But these days, pet insurance companies are continually adjusting their offerings to provide pet owners with more flexibility, benefits, and value. According to Kristen, some recent trends in pet insurance offerings include higher-end pet insurance that covers pre-existing conditions, the opportunity to waive the waiting period by taking your cat to a veterinarian for a pre-enrollment examination, wellness benefits that can be embedded into the policy or purchased separately as a freestanding program alongside your policy. What to look for. Pet insurance offers peace of mind. If you have it, you won't have to worry about a large, unexpected veterinary bill you can't afford to pay. There are many insurance companies out there offering many different plans. Do a little homework ahead of time to find a plan that works well for you and your cat. Consider what kind of coverage is important to you, Matt says. Do you want a low monthly payment? Then consider a higher deductible plan. Do you use complementary care like acupuncture? Make sure you look at a plan that covers these kinds of treatments. Dr. Benson recommends asking yourself what it is you hope to get out of pet insurance policy, then searching for one that fulfills your desires. What do you want the insurance for? If it's for everything, that's an okay answer, he says. Are you looking for coverage on just accidents and illnesses? Are you looking for coverage on wellness? Maybe you say, for example, if my cat gets cancer, I want to make sure I'm not more than $1,000 out of pocket. Don't hesitate to shop around and compare different companies and policies. With pet insurance, you really do get what you pay for, Kristen says. Get multiple quotes so you feel like you can decide what you need and what feels like the right level of coverage for you and your cats. How pet insurance works. Before buying pet insurance, it's helpful to understand how it functions. 1. When you purchase a policy, you usually have the option of paying an annual or monthly premium. 2. If your cat becomes sick or injured, you can visit any vet you choose for treatment. 3. You pay the bill in full at the time of service, then later submit a claim to the insurance company for reimbursement. 4. Pet insurance covers your cat for illnesses, accidents, and injuries, things like upper respiratory infections, allergies, diabetes, kidney disease, broken legs, etc. Pet insurance does not pay for well pet services, for instance, annual exams, vaccines, dental cleanings, or flea and tick preventatives. If you want such things including in your policy, you can often purchase a rider, a wellness rider, that will reimburse you for a portion of wellness costs throughout the year. Felix, the first cat-specific pet insurance. Pets are insured at a much lower rate than dogs. According to the North American Pet Health Insurance Association, dogs make up about 83% of all insured pets in the United States, and cats are just 17%. Cats fare a little better in Canada, with a split of about 75% dogs to 25% cats. A new company is hoping to move the needle on health insurance for cats. Launched in 2021, Felix Cat Insurance is the first cat-specific pet insurance company. It was clear that cats were largely overlooked and often treated as an afterthought, says Rick Faulkner, CEO and co-founder of the Connected Pet Company, the parent company of Felix Cat Insurance. The offerings for pet insurance were dog-centric, catered to the dog world, and lacked affinity for cat lovers. Felix is all about cats and cats only, though if the cat permits a dog to be present in their domain, we can insure their canine servants too. Some of Felix's cat-centric features include coverage for office visits, coverage for alternative holistic and behavioral care, and delight benefits, customizable coverage limits, wellness and preventative care options, waive of pre-existing condition exclusions after a 365 waiting period, which is available in most states. For more information about Felix, visit felixcatinsurance.com. Next, we'll move on to an article from catster.com titled Six Ways to Let Your Cat Enjoy Nature from Indoors by Angie Bailey. No matter the season, the goings-on of the great outdoors are a feast for feline senses. Even kitties who primarily live indoors find plenty to see, smell, and experience if we give them inviting opportunities. Here are six suggestions. Read on, humans! Open windows with screens. In any climate, it's possible to open a window at some point during the year and allow fresh air to breeze through the screen. Kitties are major fans of open windows, as they provide endless simulation from the world outside their food dish, catnip, toys, and litter box. Did you know that cats have 200 million scent receptors in their nasal cavity? Not only can they smell the barbecue currently happening next door, but can also sense if that freeloading raccoon's been midnight snacking out of your garbage can. Again, build a catio. Why not build your cat an entire catio so he can lounge with the safety of a contained patio area attached to your home? There are a variety of catio planning ideas online, or search for smaller mobile models. Your fabulous feline could pretend the catio is his own private lanai and he's on vacation 24/7. He'd want you to bring him treats and toys like a personal attendant at a fancy resort. Wait, how is that different than their other thoughts without a catio? Add tall climbing structures and scratching posts. Outdoors, cats love to climb trees and sharpen their fierce claws on the bark. To give kitty a similar indoor experience, provide tall cat towers, shelves, and scratching posts, and let them go to town. Many kitties especially love the model that shows up in some houses around the holidays. We humans refer to it as a Christmas tree. Grow cat grass. Most cats are naturally attracted to the taste of fresh grass, and you can offer them an indoor planter of the yummy stuff. Look for a variety of cat grass kits in your local pet stores or online shops. Those smarty cats instinctively know that cat grass will make them throw up hairballs or help move their digestion along like a laxative. They also instinctively know to direct their hacked up hairballs into your shoe, onto your new rug, or all over your laptop's keyboard. Take a stroll. Bring the indoors outdoors and give the kitty the best of both worlds. If your cat's adventurous, perhaps he'd enjoy a stroll around the neighborhood in the comfort and safety of a screened pet stroller. He'd relax, enjoy the view, sniff the air, and allow the neighbors to admire him. Plus, nothing says, this human is my servant, like an enclosed rolling cat chariot. At an indoor perch. A cat could catch up on his favorite cat TV shows whether a window is open or closed. Place a perch or cat tower next to a window with a clear view of action-packed trees or feeders, and kitty suddenly has a front row seat to Say Yes to the Nest, Real Mousewives, and Gossip Squirrel. And no commercials. Next, we'll move on to an article from Dogster Magazine from the Vet Is In section titled, Is Your Dog Fat? By Dr. Ernie Ward. Ever had the feeling that whatever you say next is only going to make things worse? Pardon me, we're going to read an article, Is Your Husky Too Husky? 8 Telltale Signs Puppers Is Too Plump by Elise Rothrock. I realize I read that article in a previous month. My apologies. Ugh, who wants to read more about weight loss, keeping weight off, what to eat, what not to eat? As painful as it is to you, it's even more painful for pooches who carry unnecessary extra pounds. Following indicators mean it's time to turn your pup from fat and frumpy to fat, with a PH, and fabulous. 1. Someone asks when your dog will deliver puppies. Ouch! If your dog could understand language and conversation on that level, he or she would dig a deep, deep hole and crawl in it of shame, with a bone, covered in meat. Whether male or female, if your dog looks like he's ready to pop, it's beyond time to finesse the feeding and exercise regimen. However, just as you would do for yourself, schedule a vet visit prior to reducing calories and increasing movement to ensure weight loss can happen safely. 2. Exercise. I thought you said extra fries. Hopefully you're not feeding your dog French fries or overdoing any treating. Falling into the habit of equating treating with love is one you must break for your doggo's long-term health. Love is love. Treats are calories. Treats used in training, positive reinforcement, and once in a while, indulgences may not necessarily be associated with an increase of obesity as long as they comprise less than 10% of total caloric intake. 3. Your dog doesn't need a floaty in the pool. If your boy floats like a buoy in water, that may indicate he's due for a diet. Swimming is a great way for anyone, including dogs, to shed pounds and get fit. However, not all dogs love water or are natural swimmers. Ease your pup into the shallows with patience if he's not a hydrophile. Secure a doggy life vest and always keep an eye on him. Same goes for dogs who make leaps and bounds for the pool or the waves. 4. There's no Santa audition today. Roly Poly and Extra Jolly is a must in any Santa. Well, not your fat, except the jolly part. Extra fat around the dog's abdomen, hips, and neck are telltale signs that he would look great in a St. Nick suit. Once extra fat weighs down his abdomen, hips, and neck, he's probably is obese, putting him at higher risk of developing many health issues, including diabetes, arthritis, cancer, and more. Now is the time to hitch your furry Santa to the sleigh for some exercise, so to speak. 5. Ribs? What ribs? Place your hands along the sides of your pet's chest. If you can't feel his ribs, it's diet and exercise time. If your dog is in ideal body condition, you can feel his ribs but not see him. Your dog's stomach should tuck upward toward its tail from his chest. It should definitely not be level with it and definitely not below. Pot-bellied pig is not the look you're going for. 6. Watching your dog ascend stairs is painful. Don't let your doggo struggle unnecessarily. Help close what the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention calls the fat pet gap, or in other words, your failure to notice or acknowledge your companion packing on the pounds over time, by building in regular exercise for your pup, something you both will enjoy to ensure long-term follow-through. 7. Your dog is the perfect oval. Oval is beautiful if you're talking watermelon or gemstones, but not your dog. If she's shaped like an oval rather than a fit and sassy hourglass, she's Rubenesque, to put it kindly. Get a high-level view by standing above your pet and looking down at her. She should have somewhat of an hourglass shape with a taper at the waist, which is between the abdomen and the hips. If there's little or no taper, she's probably overweight. 8. Your dog looks at his food dish, then looks at you like, what, that's it? Obviously, what you feed your dog matters, but portion size matter as well. Studies show that dogs who eat a set of small meals per day, rather than one large feast, are less likely to be overweight or obese. Helpful hint. Use a measuring cup to ensure you're not overfeeding, and don't free feed. Next, we'll move on to an article in Cool Dog People, For the Love of Dogs, People Who Help Disabled Pets, by Wendy Newell. Owners of disabled dogs often have to overcome unique challenges. These humans have dedicated their lives to helping make it a little easier to give those dogs a full and happy life. Mark Robinson, the Pet Mobility Maker. 20 years ago, Mark Robinson created a website called HandicappedPets.com so that caretakers of disabled animals had a place to talk and share information. The group is now called Walk-In Pets and offers not only a community but a large array of products that help dogs and other animals overcome a number of different types of disabilities. Once Mark gave caregivers the space on his website, he listened to them, which led him to design and patent the world's first adjustable dog wheelchair. It isn't just the thousands of thank you letters that fills Mark's office confirm he has helped animals and their families. He gets to see their joy as well. One such moment happened when a family brought in their dog, Denali, who hadn't walked in years. After being fitted for his own wheelchair, Denali took off across the parking lot. It was so unexpected that nobody had thought to bring a leash with them. Now, with the help of Walking Pets and Mark, Denali gets to go hike with his family. It's a story about a family being able to play again, Mark says. Walk-In Pets' mission statement echoes what Mark himself passionately feels and what has driven him throughout his career. We believe that pets are family and that elderly, disabled, and handicapped pets deserve to live a happy, healthy life. More at HandicappedPets.com. Christina Lee, the Deaf Dog Advocate. When Christina Lee and her husband adopted Nitro, a deaf boxer, 11 years ago, they didn't know it would start them on a path to becoming advocates for specially abled pups. And that's exactly what happened. The nonprofit Deaf Dogs Rock, which Christina founded, is a place anyone can turn to for help in raising, adopting, or rehoming a deaf dog. When Nitro was still a puppy, Christina realized that they may have bitten off more than they could chew. The couple looked to what they knew might help, training. In class, Nitro was so bright and learned sign cues so fast that he was awarded his AKC Canine Good Citizen Award by the time he was 10 months old before going on to therapy dog training. Christina came to understand that deaf dogs have superpowers because of their heightened senses. Deaf dogs are much more in tune and bonded to their person because of them constantly watching our facial expressions and body language, she explains. Christina's passion to change the perception that deaf dogs are untrainable led her to start Deaf Dogs Rock, which offers a number of services to help the lives of deaf dogs everywhere. They work with partner rescues and assist by sponsoring deaf dogs and featuring them on their website. They promote and offer resources on how to use positive reinforcement training and care for a specially abled pup, and they promote stories of successful adoptions. Christina gets emails daily from families that have been helped by her group. The services and tools Deaf Dogs Rock allow owners to keep their family dog they were worried they didn't have the skills to keep. More at deafdogsrock.com. Sylvie Bordeaux, the Halo Hero. 10 years ago, Sylvie's heart dog, Muffin, led her to the creation of a company, Muffin's Halo Guide for Blind Dogs, focused on helping and supporting those special pups with limited or no sight. At the time, Muffin, a toy poodle, started to bump into things. It was clear that 11-year-old Muffin's eyesight was failing. As Sylvie struggled to find ways to help her pup, Muffin was also diagnosed with a mass in his stomach. While seeking treatment, a vet mistakenly lacerated Muffin, causing him to start losing blood. Sylvie told God that if Muffin survived, she would dedicate her life to helping blind dogs. It was a hard 3 weeks, but Muffin made it, and Sylvie set out to keep her promise. She realized that if he could see where he was going, then he would be freer and happier. The result was Muffin's Halo, which is a harness that tightly wraps around the body, making the dog feel cuddled and safe, and foam angel wings that hold the flexible and adjustable halo in place. When Muffin wore it, he was able to bump into objects without hurting himself and be able to feel the objects were close so he could know to stop or turn away. Sylvie has shipped over 40,000 Muffin's Halos to dogs worldwide. She can't stop there. She started the nonprofit Second Chances for Blind Dogs. The organization helps fund Muffin's Halos for blind dogs' families and shelters that are not able to afford the product. Sylvie considers the start of her business a love story between Muffin and her, and continues to work to fulfill her promise. More at muffinshalo.com and secondchancesforblinddogs.org. Next, we'll move on to WAGS. Saving Guadalajara's Street Dogs by Alan de Herrera. Each year, millions of Americans travel to Mexico in search of warm and beautiful beaches, colorful little towns, shopping, and of course, delicious traditional Mexican cuisine. One of the best food destinations in Mexico's second largest city, Guadalajara, located in the tequila-rich state of Jalisco. But traversing through the city and surrounding rural towns reveals another group of hungry food seekers, Guadalajara's street dogs. The National Institute of Statistics and Geography states that nearly 70% of Mexican households own pets. It's common to see owners walking the streets, shopping, and eating out with their furry companions. Veterinary care has risen exponentially in recent years, with dogs becoming more like family members, living indoors, and receiving preventative health care. Regardless, more dogs are ending up on the streets. The pandemic has exacerbated the problem, as far more people have found themselves jobless and downsizing during tough economic times. In some cases, the dogs are the first to go. Meet Lawrence Smith, an American expat who's been saving street dogs in Guadalajara for over 20 years. At first, I started taking those off the street that were abused and abandoned, Lawrence said. They were scared. Soon I had 75 dogs in my house, and I had to find a bigger place. 6 years ago, he officially founded his 501c3 nonprofit, St. Vincent's Home, a no-kill shelter for stray dogs located on the outskirts of the city. Here he works tirelessly to save as many as he can. We have nearly 300 dogs currently with very little resources to care for all of them, he says. Food and veterinary costs are his biggest expense. We spay or neuter every dog we bring in, and each one gets a full medical examination, Lawrence says. While he receives some local support along with donations from his Facebook followers in the United States, his limited retirement income is needed to cover most of these costs. It's overwhelming, but we always seem to find a way to squeeze one more in, he says. These dogs deserve a second chance. I can personally vouch for Mexican dogs. My wife adopted a border collie mix named Capitan from Mexico City. We have fun teaching him English, but sometimes when he hears Spanish or smells tacos, his ears perk up and his mood changes. Perhaps it's true what they say. You can take the dog out of Mexico, but not the Mexico out of the dog. So next time you travel south of the border, consider a trip to vibrant Guadalajara. And while you're there, stop by St. Vincent's Home. You might just fall in love. So you can learn about St. Vincent's Home on Facebook at St. Vincent's Home, Guadalajara. We'll end today's program with an article from Obsessions by staff writer Melissa. All hail Jaquini. Jaquini caught my eye after seeing his popular TikTok video, which showed his world being rocked by a cut on his foot. His human, Gene Mosher, says he was shaking, panting, and licking his paw. Thinking it was pretty serious, Gene rushed him to the vet, but it turned out to be just a tiny cut. Even though Jaquini was totally okay, I want to remind people that when in doubt, it's really important to bring your dog to the vet. Excessive vocalizations, constant localized grooming, differences in sleeping, drinking, and or eating, altered breathing, panting, changes to the eyes, squinting or changes to the pupils, difficulty resting, withdrawn or seeking affection, and aggressive behaviors are all signs that your dog is in pain. Be an advocate for your dog. Jean and her husband, Kirby Culbertson, adopted Jaquini from a local rescue, Saving Grace, savinggracenc.org, in 2018, and he will be about 4 years old this December. Jaquini was pretty fearful when we first got him, she says, and was even afraid to go on walks around the neighborhood. He's really come out of his shell and is quite adventurous now. Jaquini's tiny lower jaw is crooked, so one of his lower canines was poking a hole in the roof of his mouth. Two vets said that it was fine like that, but common sense told me something was wrong. I took him to the doggy dentist who determined that the tooth was wearing down the bone on the roof of his mouth and would eventually appear as his sinus cavity. He had his tooth pulled and he's doing much better. I share this story because it's important to remember that vets can be wrong and that you have to be an advocate for your pet. Jaquini's favorite thing to do is eat. Gene says he also enjoys having his picture taken because he knows he'll get treats for posing. Hanging out with the dog park with his friends, playing tiny tennis balls, biting people's fingers, chasing squirrels, rock climbing trips, and outings, especially to the hardware store. This article has been cut for time. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.